Hello and welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored, where we are your weekly gospel council teacher meeting.
What?
I keep messing that up.
Just keep going.
You know, that thing. We just talk about teaching the gospel. That's what really matters in the end, right? I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard. I'm so sorry. Why do I laugh when you mess up? Like, that's not very supportive.
I feel like a heel now. I feel like I'm not supported by you, Julie.
I'm so sorry. That's the last thing I want you to do. I will be a better friend in the future.
No. I have that whole thing in my head and I go to say it and then it just comes out wrong. I'm like, I just said it in my head just perfectly just now.
Well, that's kind of like when you're mountain biking and you see a rock and you tell yourself not to hit the rock.
And then you hit the rock. I know it. Yeah.
That happens all the time. And so this is the same principle.
Same thing. Yep.
Okay, so I want to talk about something today that's been on my mind, and I think I mentioned it in a previous podcast and kind of alluded to it, but I really want to dig into it a little bit today. So I want to share an experience, and can you actually tell me if I've shared this experience or not? Because I will share it in more detail if I've not. Not that everybody listens to everything. Here's the experience. So High Adventure and Girls Camp were a couple of weeks ago for our ward. And it was Ward Girls Camp and Ward High Adventure. And my husband and I were talking because both of those things happened simultaneously and both had a testimony meeting on the same night. And then Todd and I connected, I think the next morning when he was driving home from High Adventure or something like that. And we both started to kind of dialogue a little bit about those experiences. And it was interesting because we were both trying to be really positive. But we both felt something. Did I tell you this story?
Does this ring a bell at all?
Okay, good. So we both started to feel something that was kind of interesting. And it wasn't that we were trying to be critical or negative or overlay any kind of label on the experience. Genuinely, we were coming from a good place, but we were kind of processing through our own feelings about it. And I felt guilty because during the testimony meeting that we had with these girls, I felt uncomfortable. And I'm like, that is not the feeling that I should have during a testimony meeting. And so I kind of analyzed it and I was being a little bit hard on myself and saying, well, it's probably me. I'm sure other people felt the spirit. You know, maybe I'm not in a right frame of mind, maybe. And I had just actually spoken to the girls. And so part of what was maybe playing in my head was, you know, what went right, what didn't. And maybe I just wasn't in the right space. And so I thought, you know, I just felt uncomfortable and I couldn't really understand it. And so Todd was describing the testimony meeting that they had on High Adventure. And he's like, it was kind of uncomfortable. And I'm like, what? Okay, so tell me why. And we started to talk about it. And we realized that it was really difficult to transition into these testimony meetings. And I'm like, that's interesting because it was the transition into now let's share your deepest feelings.
So
tough for these youth. And I think that the youth leaders did a phenomenal job of trying. And in our case, you know, we're like trying to have YCLs lead out youth, like these, that's what they're called. They're basically youth leaders. Mm-hmm. And I know that in Young Men's, they're trying to do the same thing. They're trying to get the older boys to take the lead in creating these experiences at High Adventure as well. And so that actually wasn't at all what happened. And so it was the youth leaders that had to kind of go, okay, now let's lead in and share these testimonies and bare your soul. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that just felt awkward. And so as we got into the experience of sharing testimonies, it was interesting the things that the girls shared. And then I talked to Todd about it, and he said it was interesting the things that the boys shared as well. And I thought, am I being unfair in my expectation of what youth ought to be sharing, capable of sharing in their testimonies? And I'm like, what is, like, it was this whole, I feel like I'm sounding like a terrible person as I describe this. But this is the conclusion that I drew, because I really am trying to take you through the mental process that I went through. This is the conclusion that I drew. And if you disagree, that's totally fine. Let me explain the conclusion.
Okay.
I feel like we grew up naturally talking about the gospel a lot. Like in our homes, with our friends. It was not unpopular to be religious or to be Christian. It was not like frowned upon to do missionary work. It was not, you know, people were not offended if you believed in a higher power. And I think that we live in a day and age where gospel discussions don't happen quite as naturally. And I ran this past my kids. I'm like, do you feel like you can have like anything related to the gospel, like in conversation with your friends? And they're like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They would. And we live in a fairly woke community. Mm-hmm. And the environment that my son specifically is in at school, because he's part of a program. And so there's a certain population of kids that are part of this program. And it's a very kind of a liberal group of kids. And I say liberal, not to be like liberal and conservative. I just mean like liberal in their thinking. And so the thing that he said is that it's very difficult. Like even the fact that if somebody knows that he is LDS, they will actually target him. They will persecute him. And I didn't receive that level, that type of persecution when I was going to high school, but he's actually been actively targeted, because of the fact that people learn he's LDS. And sometimes it's by people whose parents were former members of the church, but they've heard really derogatory, horrible things about the church. And these kids will then repeat mm-hmm. it to Liam's face. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, what is happening here? And I think that social media, texting, even like living in a digital age creates a problem because kids aren't articulating like out of their mouth in dialogue, like active sharing of meaning back and forth between people.
Sure.
Things of the heart that are sincere very often. I think they almost have their own language when they're texting, and they almost have like, and it's unique. And I think they give themselves permission to be more critical and more harsh when they are technically using a tool to communicate. And very rarely when they are in each other's presence, are they going much deeper. And so I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot. I'm going to kind of take
You're
it.
You're good. Step Keep going.
Make the connection. So as I'm processing this, I'm like, how, like I asked Liam specifically about this testimony meeting and he had shared his testimony, but I'm like, did you really share? He's like, no way. And I'm like, okay. And I listened to Addie share her testimony. And I was like, that wasn't her testimony. And she's like, no way was I going to share more. And I'm like, why? And so I've really been struggling with how, and this is the topic of today's discussion, how do we help teach youth to share their testimonies, to articulate their testimonies of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I don't think they know how. And I don't think they're practicing. Wow. And I don't think it is something that's happening naturally for them. And so when it comes time and an opportunity presents itself, it feels unnatural. And there are some obstacles to overcome that I don't think we've done a great job of instructing them through.
Okay, let me run a pseudo statistical analysis on what you just said.
Okay.
Overall, when we grew up, there was only so much communicating, only so much sharing. And I'm throwing out a number, it's not right, but let's say 10% of that discussion was gospel related.
Yeah.
So if you take a larger amount of sharing that the kids do today, and you take that 10% and whittle it down to, let's say, 3%. It's dramatically different because of the amount of sharing that they're used to.
Communicating like this type of stuff, right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's not just going from 10 to 3. It's going like from 10 to 0.5 because of the amount that... So that's a really, really interesting thought that you're right. I can definitely see that. And it's interesting. And I'm so glad your kids are honest with you like that, that they would be able to say, no, I'm not going to share that full amount of my heart. So is this a matter of, Is this a matter of a culture where they, I mean, I think it's all of it, but I guess to what degree? A matter of a culture that is unwilling to share these type of things of the heart, of their religion, of their testimony, or is it a lack of knowing how to? Which one has more of an impact, would you say? Do you think that from what you looked at?
So I think both have an impact, and I think we only have control over one. So I would say we have control maybe over the culture in our home, and maybe we have control, some element of control over the culture in our wards, or in our stakes even, or even in our community, because of the fact that we as human beings, our family unit will interact with people in our community, will interact with people in our ward. And so if we share, people feel more comfortable sharing back. But part of the reason I think that my kids didn't feel comfortable sharing is because nobody else was. Right?
Okay. Okay.
And so, and I also think that it sometimes doesn't feel safe. And when I say that, I mean like psychologically safe, because the environment has not been created and people don't necessarily know how to shift gears to sharing things of the heart. And so like figuring out how to create that type of an environment is part of this as well. And so what I heard you ask, I think was really pointed and maybe incomplete. Because I think that what you're trying to say is not just what is causing this, is it culture or is it knowing how, but also, you know, is this something that we can actually even do anything about, right? Like,
sure. Yeah.
So knowing, let me kind of pull back just a little bit. I feel like there are a couple of parts to the discussion that I want to have today. One of them is a little bit of an analysis of what a testimony is. And the next is a little bit of an analysis as to how we can create the environment where kids might learn how to actually articulate it. And then another is how would they feel how we can create an environment where they would feel comfortable.
Good. I like
articulating
this.
It. And so this is when I talk about these three parts, I have to remember what they were because I just organized them in my mind right this second.
Really? That was beautiful.
Thank you. So, so what it is, the second is how to express,
how to
and
express,
the third is how to create the environment.
Environment.
Okay.
Good.
There we go. I just want to make sure I have that. So I want to talk specifically in our conversation today about the youth. Like this is a podcast episode that is directed to those who are teaching youth.
Okay.
Okay. And I think this includes youth in our homes. And I would say that right now I don't have a calling teaching youth anymore. Like I was teaching the seniors for a while. All my callings involve adult learning. But in my home, which is my primary calling, that is where I'm doing this type of teaching. And so what I'm sharing today is coming from my own experience, but it's also coming from this real desire to better understand how to do this for my kids. And so I am investing in this topic because I need it so badly. And I will tell you that when I felt that, the moment that I felt that, and then my kids came home from all of that, and we started to have these discussions, even the fact that I brought it up made them feel safe to share how they really feel. And I learned some things about my kids' testimonies that I'm not very excited about. Like they were things that were hard for me to hear. And so I think that ignorance is sometimes bliss. Like we can pretend that this issue doesn't exist and we can say, of course my kids have testimonies, and we can even hear our kids sometimes say the words that they hear us say. But what we want to get at is what a testimony really is and how can we help our kids develop that for themselves? Let me read something about that. So in Gospel Topics under testimony, it says that a testimony is a spiritual witness given by the Holy Ghost. And then it goes through and lists what some of the foundations of a testimony are. And then in the next paragraph, it says, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have the sacred opportunity and responsibility to obtain their own testimonies. So that means that we can't gift our children a testimony. We can't force them to develop it. That what we're trying to do is help them to understand their own testimony and help them develop it on the right foundation, and then help them figure out how to actually express it. And I want to talk about why the expression part is so important. So let's talk for a second first about what do you think a testimony is?
For me, it's my belief and understanding of the gospel. And this testimony, we often think about sharing the testimony, right? It's I think it's rare that we talk about having a testimony and at the same time we talk about sharing it, right? I mean, those almost go hand in hand. But as you read this, it didn't say anything at the beginning of when you read it, it didn't say anything about sharing. It just said a testimony is this. And mm-hmm. and it's personal to each person, but they right. have a responsibility to obtain that testimony. So it's really just my beliefs and my understanding from my experiences and from the witness of the Spirit, what I believe.
Is there a right or a wrong testimony?
No, there can't be.
Because you just said my experience, my witness, my understanding, my beliefs. So like your testimony doesn't have to be exactly like somebody else's, right? It doesn't right. have to look just like your parents' testimony looks, even though we think we've got these great testimonies. I'd love for your testimony to look like my testimony. No, it doesn't have to look the same. It's very personal, right? Mm-hmm. Let's read it. I love that you included in that. It's not just feelings. It's your understanding.
Right.
And the witness that you've received from the Spirit. We were doing gospel study the other night, not very well, but doing it. And Addie and Liam both confessed something to me. And I think that they were wrong, but I honored what they said. And Addie said, I think I've only felt the Spirit one time in my life. And so I realized that part of me helping my children to understand that they already do have the right. beginnings yeah. of a testimony is for me to say, oh, she doesn't even know when she's felt the Spirit. And I'm not trying to say that I know better than she does. I just don't know that I've taught my children really well how to recognize when it. The Spirit is communicating right. with them, right?
Right.
And so that was kind of like a little bit startling to me, but I'm like, oh, note to self. And then she later in the week shared these experiences with me where she had felt the Spirit. And I'm like, see, but I could point it out because I knew it was something I needed to point out. I probably would have not pointed it out before. Right.
Good point.
Let's read a couple of scriptures. So, and see what we learn about what a testimony is from these verses.
Okay.
The first one. Oh, wait, that's not it. Oh, yes, here it is. I don't think that we think of these things as being a testimony. So first one is Mosiah 18, verse 9. And I just want to draw us to the middle of the verse and say, under gospel topics, one of the cross references to testimony is this phrase, to stand as a witness of God in all times and in all things and in all places.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think that, like, how do you think that is a testimony?
Okay. So when we talk about standing as a witness, my mind just went like five different places with this. But when we talk about standing as a witness, the first thing that I went to is sharing the testimony. But again, you can stand as a witness without sharing the testimony. It's just who you are and the way you act. So what we believe will almost pretty much dictate how we act at the same time, right?
Right.
So if we have a testimony and we believe in God and the restored gospel and Jesus Christ, we will act to our depth of knowledge.
Bam.
Right?
So okay. well articulated, because we act based on our thoughts. Like This is the whole idea that our thoughts influence our feelings, which influences our behavior, right?
Right.
And so standing as a witness, to me, I didn't even think of it, the words coming out of your mouth. What I actually thought about was somebody standing.
Oh.
And I thought, okay. Like, how are you behaving? Where are you standing? What are you doing? Like, I thought actions, mm-hmm. right? And just being found on the Lord's side and the things that you do, just being, by being you,
yeah.
you are sharing your testimony.
Yes.
That is the fruit of an actual testimony in your heart. Right?
But do we see that? Do we recognize that?
I don't think people do. That's why right. I'm like, yeah. I think these kids need to understand that just by being you, you are reflecting to me that you have a testimony.
Yeah,
right? Oh,
that is so good. And I think that would help so many of the youth to say, basically what I hear you saying is that I look at you and I see your testimony just right. because of who you are. And they might say, really? You can see that? I mean, my testimony is reflected off what I do and who I am. Yeah, it sure is. And then yes. they can realize, oh, I'm living a testimony and I have a testimony and you're right. And
bam.
But I think we narrow the scope of what a testimony, I'm so glad you're doing this because we narrow the scope of what a testimony is and how it's expressed to fast and testimony meetings.
I'd like to bear my testimony.
Right.
And it has to have the lilt in order right. for it to be
that cadence, right?
That's right. Kevin, what you just said is that Stephen Covey quote about communicating, like leadership is, so think of yourself as a youth leader, communicating people's worth and potential so clearly they're inspired to see it in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this idea. If you can communicate to someone, I see that you have a testimony. You may be struggling right now with the decisions that you're facing. You may be struggling right now with X, Y, and Z, or you may be struggling just to even express it. Like not knowing what you know does not mean you do not have the foundations of a testimony. I see it in you.
Right.
I see it in how you behave. I see it in how you treat other
powerful.
People.
If we said that to our youth, just that can be so, and to our children.
Yes.
That's powerful.
And label it what it really
yes.
is.
Yes.
I see that you have a testimony. I see it in you. Like, I love that you like brought that out. That's beautiful. Okay, so go to Ether 12:6, if you don't okay. mind. Okay, and I want to go to the last line, the last part of it. And I want you 12, to tell 6. Me how you think this relates to testimony.
Mm-hmm.
For ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith.
Putting it in this context, what that says to me is that to gain a testimony, there needs to be some challenge. There needs to be something that rubs us, you know, rubs up against us and we go, ow. And yeah. and then we use the principles that we learned. And after we use it and see the fruit, then we go, oh. You're right. That's how it works.
Yes.
Or that's what I feel.
Like in order for you to gain a testimony, you have to question a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you have to doubt, mm-hmm. but I'm saying you have to question. I think that like there has to be opposition, even in the development of a testimony, in order for that testimony to have the capacity to take root in you.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking something up right now?
Nope. I'm writing that down.
The
quote specifically, because I love, love, love that. To gain a testimony, you have to question.
I think you do. I do. Okay. Now go to Doctrine and Covenants 6, 22 through 23.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Do you want to read those?
Okay. Did I not speak peace to your mind concerning the matter?
22 first. Go back. 22.
22. Sorry. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you desire a further witness, cast your mind upon the night that you cried unto me in your heart, that you might know concerning the truth of these things? Did I not speak peace to your mind concerning the matter? What greater witness can you have than from God?
Okay, same question. How do you think this verse relates to testimony? What does this teach us?
Well, the first thing that I thought of is that it is doing exactly what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
We have that understanding. So, and this is Oliver Cowdery, isn't it? Yeah, it's Oliver Cowdery.
Yeah.
And he had the witness, but he may not have recognized it.
Right.
And so the Lord is saying, I just want to point out, you have the witness, you have the testimony. You just didn't recognize it, but that's exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And what does it say is that witness in some cases?
Let's see.
23.
Speak peace. Yeah, just peace.
Right.
Peace to your mind.
We were having a really great gospel discussion the other night with a friend, and he's really struggling right now because of some issues related to church history. Like, they have become consuming to his mind. Consuming. And he's like, I just don't want to be an idiot. I don't want to be the person who, right. You know. And so one of the things that really struck me, and I know that this came from the Spirit, this was because I really, really, really love this family. I love them so much. And one of the things that kept coming to my mind is, how do you feel in this wrestle? Because he described how he used to feel about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how he loved the feelings that he used to have when, you know, he didn't know all of this stuff that was part of it, right?
Yeah.
And so we had this conversation about, how do you feel when you are studying all of this and investing in all of it and trying to disprove certain things and trying to, you know, kind of unravel what you thought you knew to reconcile it with all of this new information? And he said, I am so confused, so conflicted, so unsettled. And I'm like, that does not sound to me like a witness from the Spirit that you're on the right track. And so I said, what if you stop investing in this pile here, that's kind of all this yucky stuff, and then look at creating a new pile and invest in, and then we talked about some of the foundational things that a testimony should be based on, and see if that doesn't yield that speaking peace to your mind and settle some of what's over here. And so when I looked at this first paragraph about where it says that the foundation of a testimony is, it goes through and says, a knowledge that Heavenly Father lives and loves his children, that Jesus Christ lives, that he is the Son of God, and that he carried out the infinite atonement, that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God who was called to restore the gospel, that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the Savior's true church on the earth, and that the church is led by a living prophet today. And I'm like, that's what we need to invest in. I think there are two things that are instructional in here when it comes to teaching youth. One of them is the idea that sometimes we are like, that just peace or a lack of it can communicate to us whether or not we're on the right track. Mm-hmm. And if there are things about the gospel that we never questioned, but we were like, they were settled, that doesn't mean that they weren't right because we never questioned them. And just because something else causes us to feel unsettled doesn't mean that we should dig into the unsettled feeling until it becomes settled. You actually feed what you want to grow, and you feed the things that have brought you peace. And the things that have brought you peace will likely be related to those foundational components of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Hmm. Is it a matter then of maybe I'm going down the wrong path and I apologize, but we're talking about recognizing a testimony, but at the same time, we're also talking about forgetting the testimony.
Oh, right. Right. That's a great point.
And what you're saying, if at least what I hear you say, is something along the lines of, if we're feeling the peace, then we know we're going down the right way. If we don't feel the peace, then maybe we should look for those things that bring us peace. Because honestly, okay, a lot of people could look at that and say, all right, but shouldn't that bring angst? Shouldn't that, if you're in a religion that has, you know, all this is going on, shouldn't you feel angst? And all of a sudden I just thought, you know what? If I'm in a religion that has all these things that are just completely wrong, and I learn about these and I start going down that path, I should feel peace that, oh, wow. But if it, like your friend, if it's bringing you,
like, I've dodged angst, a bullet, kind of, right? Like, oh, I feel peace because I have dodged a bullet.
Right, right. But yeah. if that's not going on, then all of a sudden you go, wait a minute. Holy cow. If I'm having this angst, then maybe this is, yeah, that's a hard thing to, because it's almost like we love drama.
Right.
We want to get in and understand this. And oh my goodness, no, I don't want the drama. I want the right. peace. Give me the peace. Well, I'll follow the path that has the peace. Yeah.
Right. And so let me take those two things that you just, because I think you brought up something really cool here. That part of what we're trying to do in this case, we're trying to teach youth, like that's our focus for this conversation, what a testimony is, and being able to say that that piece is actually an indication that you have a testimony, that you're on the right track, that yeah. the things that you are investing in the gospel of Jesus Christ are good and true. And then we're also saying at the same time, you know, cast your mind back to when you felt the peace, if you are in a place of unrest, and go back to that.
Yes.
Don't chase this. And I think that youth chase the shiny balls all mm-hmm. the time, like the bouncy, mm-hmm. shiny ball. They are drawn to that and they chase that. And oftentimes that's the most dramatic, like you were saying, like people almost enjoy drama. And so some of this intrigue and some of this whatever can appeal to them and to their curiosity. But what we really need to make sure of is that what we're feeding in our instruction to them is the right thing. We're not feeding the bouncy balls of society. What we are feeding is the foundational principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so while we may have a desire to answer every gospel question they have, and while no question should ever be off limits, if we in our instruction focus on the periphery things about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are not helping them build a testimony. We are helping them Amen. To gain more knowledge.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So now let me move us forward. I just don't want this to get too long. But the second part of that, so if we kind of can look at a testimony as being a little bit different than just what you would share over the pulpit in a fast and testimony meeting, mm-hmm. let's talk about then how you might express some of those things and how we can help youth in that regard. Like when we are, like, I want you to think about some of the things that are traditionally expressed in testimony. And I know we could make fun of this for like an hour, right? We could talk about the lilt. We could talk about, you know, some of the yes. cliches. We could, like, we could kind of make fun of it because it's a reality. Like, there's a right. lot of it. How cool that kids have heard those things enough to be able to repeat them. And when you stand up at the pulpit, if you need to use somebody else's words until you find your own, use somebody Great. Else's words.
Yep.
We need to stop criticizing that in our minds. Like, let it be whatever it needs to be.
Right.
However, I want to push it a little bit further.
Okay.
So in our classes, if we are not asking kids to articulate back to us what they hear and learn and what resonates with them, we are failing them. Why do you
think
that's
pretty strong, Julie?
I know. Tell me why that would be the case, because you nodded.
Well, first off, if we're having a discussion with them and they're not getting to that level, it's shallow, right? And it's not going deep enough. But when we do that, then we're getting into what you're talking about, being able to articulate the way they feel. And again, if they never articulate the way they feel and they never articulate their testimony, how are they going to really have it sink in and have it go deep and take root?
Okay, so but does right. it have to be how they feel, though? I don't even think it has to be how they feel.
Yeah.
Like, I just think having them figure out how to phrase and say out of their mouth, like, have you ever read a book and you've read like these words and then all of a sudden you come across a name and you've read it 1,000 times in your mind. So you have the name in your mind, but all of a sudden you're going to say it out your mouth and you're like, I don't know what this
name is. That doesn't sound right.
Right? That didn't sound like I thought it was supposed to sound.
Right, right. Yep.
I almost wonder if there's a little bit of that going on with kids mm-hmm. who have never said and used gospel language in a natural way.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's not saying, how do you feel? And it's not even introspective questions, right? Go ahead, say what you were going to say. I can tell you're like, No,
I was agreeing with you by saying no, oddly enough, but you're right.
No, I knew you were agreeing with me. I just was trying to give you the opportunity to expound on the thought instead of me because I'm talking a lot.
No. Okay. So I will say something here. In we just had High Adventure. And each night we had a devotional. And we didn't end with a testimony meeting. And I did that on purpose. I was kind of in helping put this all together. And we didn't end with a testimony because I wanted to make the whole discussion a testimony meeting. I wanted to make it be a natural part. And so I said, we need to ask questions in which their answers, they will be bearing their testimony and have that just be a natural part of the discussion, right? And it was really good. It did it, but I failed in the end. I didn't recognize it until now. Thank you, Julie. I appreciate you. I didn't recognize that. I should have said at the end, do you all realize that your answers were your testimony? You bore your testimony every single time you answered those questions. Every time you told us how you felt about the gospel, what you believe about the gospel, what you understand, the experiences that you had, all of that is part of your testimony. And that is what I didn't do. And I recognize that now. I wish I had pointed that out to them, that they were bearing their testimony. But they did, and it was beautiful.
Kevin, you just made the exact point that I wanted to make. That was perfect. That we sometimes think that an expression of testimony has to be like, I have a testimony of, or da da da. What we need to create are less fabricated opportunities where we're like forcing it.
Yes.
And more natural opportunities, because that's what feels good to them. Point three, not just how to express, which was two, because I made my list, but three is how do we create an environment? We create natural discussions.
Yes.
And then we identify, you have just shared, like we know that we're supposed to identify when we feel the Spirit, like actually say it out loud, right? We should be doing the same thing with testimonies. Do you realize how beautifully you just articulated your testimony to me? Like, let's not be afraid of that word, but let's not feel like we have to fabricate these experiences where they can share. And I'm not saying that those don't have a place. What I am saying is that I do think we are encountering more psychological barriers with kids these days than we ever did historically. And one of those is that we don't live the same kind of life that they do. We don't speak the same language. And so part of what we're trying to do is almost insert ourselves into a discussion that we want to be in their language and with their peers. And we're just kind of trying to like prompt it versus saying, and now it's testimony meeting. Who would like to go first?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, so very much so.
That really does address what I wanted to address in number three, that we have to make this feel so natural. And there is a contrived opportunity once a month for us to share our testimonies. And that can become a beautiful experience for all of us if we are taking the opportunity to really reflect on, wait a minute, I do have a testimony of this. Wait a minute. And can come to kind of deepen our own understanding of our own personal testimony. And so I think that knowing Fasten Testimony Meeting is coming is a really great thing. Or knowing that we're going to have a testimony meeting at the end of Girls Camp, it's predictable. That's great. I'm not in any way bashing those or like, no way. I mean, but what I'm saying is as we are teaching youth, that part of what we need to be focusing more on is creating opportunities that feel natural to them. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. In fact, you just kind of made a couple connections in my mind here. What I'm about to say is not statistically significant in the least. However, I've been thinking about this kind of in the periphery of my mind, that over the last number of years, less and less youth have started to come and bear their testimony in fast and testimony meeting.
Right.
And I don't know about your ward, and I don't know about everyone else who's listening, if that's still happening, but I have noticed that they are not getting up. Not that they got up a significant amount of time before, but it's even less, like, I don't want to say non-existent, but almost non-existent now. Could that be just because they feel, okay, this is contrived, mm-hmm. and they think, and they don't want to be a part of that because it's not genuine, because it's not authentic, or they at least see it in that way, right? Not that it isn't truly authentic, because it is for a lot of people, but for them, it may not be. And what better way to help them share their testimonies than in those authentic, natural ways that they may not even realize. I mean, it's, I don't know why this popped in my mind just now. Daniel-san and Mr. Miyagi, right?
Yes!
He's
paint the fence.
Paint the fence, sand the floor, and wax the car, right?
Yes.
And then he's doing these moves and he doesn't even realize it. And then Mr. Miyagi points it out. You know how to do karate. I don't know. I know how to paint a fence. No, you know how to watch this. Bam, 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 bam. Oh my goodness. I know how to do this.
Yeah.
And it's natural.
Yeah. Yes.
And he didn't even realize it. And that, you're right. Those are the kind of experiences that we need to focus on creating for them.
I love what you just described, the Mr. Miyagi example. So let me kind of, I hope Liam's not mad at me, but one of the things that was really interesting to me is he did not have a great FSY experience. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked because I thought, well, maybe he had a bad attitude. Like, I'm
right.
Not,
we blame it
I'm
on
not
him.
The
right,
kind
right,
of mom.
Yes, I get it.
That thinks my kid is perfect.
Right, right.
But I think what you just said was part of it, that there were, what he said to me, and I just pray that nobody who went to his session or was an instructor in his session is actually going to put two and two together and recognize this. But one of the things that he said is that the classes felt very surface level. And so everything leading up to it, he's like, it felt contrived. It felt surfacey. It felt, and I'm like, humble your freaking heart, dude. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And then it comes to testimony meeting and Liam's like, I was one of the only people that stood up and I didn't really share that much. This is where I was saying at the very beginning, you know, I don't share
right.
What I really feel. And I thought it's because there was this expectation that he share in that moment and didn't feel authentic. And he has said to me over and over what you said when you were making all of these comments. He values authenticity so much that he refuses to participate in anything that doesn't feel authentic to him. He won't let it come out of his mouth if it doesn't feel authentic, right? And that's when I talk about testimony, that's specifically something that he said to me. He's like, I don't want to say anything that I don't actually know or believe or have a testimony of. And I listened to this podcast with the directors of FSY in the UK. And they said something at the very beginning of it that really resonated with me. They said that in order for us to connect with youth at FSY, we have to learn to meet them where they are culturally. So that means, for example, if we have youth that value authenticity, and we also have youth that value, because they've been taught this everywhere in the world, to have respect for differences. Right? Mm-hmm. And to be accepting of all people. That is preached throughout our world. And we especially find rubs with it when we talk about communities that end up being marginalized. And our kids are ruffled up by this marginalization and things like that. Like, it hurts their hearts because of how they were raised. And they're things that weren't even on our radar when we were growing up. So in order for us to connect with kids who value differences, who value respect, mutual respect, who value authenticity, we have to meet them in that place. And our ability to do that is like we self-limit a little bit by not being super authentic ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about what it takes for me to be able to help kids know how to express their testimony, I have to meet them where they are culturally a little bit. And I have to express it myself in a way that is authentic, that allows for them to have different opinions than me, and I still show love and respect, that doesn't in any way set me up as being superior or make them feel marginalized. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
And so part of what I'm saying for us teachers is that we need to challenge ourselves to reframe our beliefs just a little bit in terms of the words that we're using to express them. Like that we need to figure out how to express them in a way that they will relate to.
How do we do that?
That's a great question. You know what I think?
What?
Were you going to answer it?
Well, I have something that just came to mind. I don't know if this would even work. However, so you're talking about the authenticity with which the youth want to express themselves, and they don't want to use cliches. They don't want it contrived. They don't want it forced, etc. My whole life, I never want to say to someone who graduates, congratulations. I never want to say to someone who has lost someone, I'm sorry for your loss. I never want to say to a service member, thank you for your service. Everyone says that. That is cliche. So I don't.
It bugs you.
It totally bugs me. Mm-hmm. And so instead, I try to find some other way to express it.
Yes.
Right? So maybe just to get our minds thinking that way, maybe we identify the cliche things that we all say, right? I'd like to bear my testimony. And not even that. Maybe we go back to the congratulations, I'm sorry for your loss, thank you for your service kind of things, just every day, and learn how to reframe them in the moment with sincerity to that person. And I think that if we start doing that a little bit more, that muscle will get built, and we can do that more with youth as well. And we're not trying to force the contrived, but we're making it more of a natural discussion with them in that way. Does that make sense?
Can we try it? Let's try it. So here is a phrase that really bugs Liam. Okay. I know the church is true.
Okay. Sure.
Because it just falls out of people's mouths. And he's like, I can't say that, so I shouldn't bear my testimony. Mm-hmm. And so my response is, well, what can you say? Right? And that kid can tell me like some beautiful things that come from his heart. But to say, I'm still, what he would say to me is that I love studying about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love that the church gives us the opportunity to do that.
That is it.
Okay. So you give me some examples. What is another way? Like, what's another way to say, I know the church is true?
I'm going to push back on that. I don't think you need to.
Well, no, I'm saying take a cliche.
Oh, take, okay.
And tell me, like, what is something else you could say? Because I'm saying you don't need to. I'm just trying to say, this is congratulations, right?
Right.
And so if you know anything, like, you can't say that phrase. So what could you say in your testimony about the church? So I see what you were saying. You were like, you don't have to be able to say that. And I agree with you. I'm just trying to do the exercise.
Okay. So a couple of ways, if we're looking at kind of a rephrase of that without saying that, you could say, I love the truth that the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches, and point out specific truth.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Excellent. So what does that have to do with the church? Like, let's, if you want to say to these kids, because you know that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is God's restored church on this earth, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to connect with them and you want to testify of that.
Okay.
But you want to say it in a way that will resonate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like, I'm trying to.
Yes, yes, yes.
Again. Okay.
Off the fly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm going to do very well at this. However,
okay,
this what I would say is one thing I might say is that I know that Jesus Christ is the head of this church, that he guides and directs this church. And I've seen that, and then maybe give a couple examples of how I have seen that. I mean, that points out that that implies that it's true without saying those exact words, the cliche words.
Right, right. And that's part of it, is figuring out how, like, I'll give another example. I'm just trying to kind of help get people's minds going.
Good.
You know, I love how I feel when I come to church. And I love the fact that this gives us the opportunity to gather with people who are trying to live good lives. And I know that there is strength in that unity, and that our Heavenly Father wants His church to represent that kind of unity. And I know that it's His vehicle for helping us to learn the gospel. Do you see what I'm saying? Getting at using different words that don't feel cliche, but that the kids won't like reject because it doesn't speak their language. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that we have to placate them. I'm just, right. I still want to move off.
Here's one thing that we might do, is that we might ask them the question that would elicit a cliche response and see how they react, and then use those words in our responses as well.
Okay, so what I was gonna say, the number one thing that we can do to figure out how to express things to them is to listen to how they express them.
Yeah, which there, is you go. There you go, there you go.
Yep. Let me be a little bit more pushy though, because I think that oftentimes we will ask questions hoping to get that kind of an answer, and we're going to get the cliche back because it's what they're comfortable saying. They've heard other people say it. They don't want to express anything deep. So how do we settle for that?
Do we, or should we?
So
I think we do. Touché. I think too often we do, and we shouldn't.
And we shouldn't. So how do we overcome that? Like, what do we do with that? What if, what, like, we're in gospel study the other night, my whole family was tired. I really wanted to have a discussion about something. And so one of my kids was just like, I asked a question that was a really good thought-provoking question, so I thought. And they started to just give me blah, 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 blah.
All right. And that's, yeah.
Right? That's, and I'm like, it's right, but no, that's not what I want. So
okay, so here's something that I've done in the past. Not exactly that, but in, not in that context, but in a different context. So-and-so, you know, in a class of youth. Will you say the prayer? Sure. They'll start going and I'll say, stop.
What?
And I will just totally interrupt the prayer and I'll say, stop. That's not coming from the heart, and I can tell that. You're just throwing off a prayer. Tell me in your prayer how you really feel. Really dive in deep a little bit more. We know you just bore your testimony and some of the answers you gave. Give that kind of a prayer. I want to know what's in you. Let's try it again. Or when the youth are singing, blah, 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 stop. Everyone stop singing. Are you kidding me? You guys know this and love this more. You just told me this. Let's sing it like we actually believe it. And I will just make them stop and then realize, hey, let's stop using the cliches. Let's stop using the cadence of a prayer. I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful that we have each other. Right? No. Tell me how, talk to Heavenly Father. Right. So, right. And we can do that with, I believe, testimonies as well. And that's kind of what you did though, however, at the same time, right? You asked a question that was thought-provoking. They gave a very blah response. Yeah, one of those responses. And then you said, no, there's more behind that. You can't do that every time. And you have to do it at the right time and in when people are in the right mood, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't know.
Well, I didn't actually do that.
Oh, you did?
I didn't actually do that. No.
Okay.
That was what was screaming in my brain.
Because you can't use that tactic hardly ever, but...
No, but that's what was screaming in my brain. Mm-hmm. But okay, so the points though that you just made are like, you hold people accountable for being sincere, basically, is what I hear you saying.
Yes.
Stop. Like, tell me how you really feel. I don't know that I have the guts to interrupt a prayer, But I might try it in my own house. Like maybe I would, but not maybe in a classroom. I'm just saying.
Try it.
Just saying. You never know. But the other thing that I will do is sometimes, you know how you can almost hear them in their brain saying the words and being like, blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
Right? You can see that happening in their brain with their like intentional keep my eyes forward so they don't roll up in my head. And so I might articulate it back to them in the tone that I think they're saying it in their brain. Oh, really? You believe da-da-da? Come on. So sarcasm once in a while is appropriate. I'm saying you can't, if your personality is not to be a little bit sarcastic, don't try that tactic. Okay, I'm moving on because that's a really bad suggestion, but it sometimes works.
I get it.
But like what you're trying to do, like they talk about if somebody, if you're trying to have a really good dialogue with somebody and they aren't talking, what do you do? And one of the skills is that you prime the pump just a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the ways you can prime the pump is to say what you think they're thinking. And then it gives them the opportunity to correct you if you're wrong, or it gives them the opportunity to build on it if you're right. And it's a little bit more comfortable for them if someone else starts that, right?
Okay.
And so I might use that skill where I'm like, okay, I love what you just said. I think you're spot on. But let's see if we can maybe understand that a little bit more, because those are words that everybody uses. Like, yeah. How would you put that into your own words? You know, you might, and then give them a little bit of an example and then let them build on it. Like prime the pump just a little bit with them so that they feel like, oh, wait, there are other ways of saying this. But now I've got to actually think about how what I understand. And that's part of what goes back to the skill of when you teach a concept, don't settle for them hearing the concept. Have them articulate the concept back to you. And say, okay, those were my words. Now, can you say it in yours? Like, what words would you say if you were going to share this with your friend? Or if you were gonna, you know, your mom asks you, what did you learn today? Well, tell me what you're gonna tell her. Like, and I wanna know if you're gonna say it was so boring, say that out loud. Like, say it was actually really boring and this is all we talked about. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I want that kind of authenticity from the kids. And
like
so
that.
Prime the pump a little bit.
Yes. You just gave me another thought.
Okay.
What if we reverse prime the pump?
What do you mean?
So what you're talking about there is asking them a question saying, stop. Okay, now think about this. And you're asking them a bunch of questions. What if you turn around and said, your turn to ask me the questions?
Oh, fantastic.
Right. You start as I'm trying to help you articulate this. Why don't you start asking me? And then hopefully the goal is for them to start becoming invested in it by asking the questions. And then they're checking your responses on that. And they're doing the evaluation on your responses, which helps them evaluate their own responses.
Oh, my gosh. So basically, you're modeling authenticity for them. But at the same time, you're getting them to think harder about it because they're challenging you. They're trying to get more out of you. So they are holding you accountable for being authentic.
Right.
Oh, what a great reverse prime the prompt. Like, I think both of those paired are really great. Good job, us. Those are great suggestions.
Good job, us.
We did it like that.
Jolly good.
Really good. We did good, Kevin. That was good. So I want to just kind of pull all of this together. Because I think that we've covered what I was hoping that we would cover. And so do you have anything to add before I kind of pull it all together?
No, I don't.
Any of what we were just saying? Okay. So I feel so strongly that like I'm thinking of my role as a parent in teaching my kids. We have to do it differently than it was done with us. We can't default to what's comfortable with us. We should be stepping out of our comfort zones when we are teaching the youth. And part of stepping out of our comfort zones is in large part asking ourselves the hard questions about our own testimonies. Like I think the key to being able to be authentic with these kids is asking yourself the hard questions. What I've just accepted this, like I said this to Liam the other day. I said, you know, Liam, one of the things that I love about the discussions that we have is that you push me to think hard about what I actually believe, because you won't accept me just regurgitating the words. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And so he's like, Mom, this is good. Like, this
that's
is good. Great. And I think that that's a big part of it. Like, don't be afraid to ask yourself, do I actually know that? Because I keep saying I know it. How do I know it? Like, what are the foundational things that I know that lead me to that belief? Like, help. And are there other words besides this arrogant, I know? Like, what can I also say to express it in a way that isn't just, I believe, which feels like a cop-out sometimes? Like, it's not like faith is kind of, remember we talked about faith being the bridge between belief and knowledge. So like, what are words that we can use that express faith? Like that we have substance, reason, evidence, assurance. And like, let's express that. Let's hang out in that space, right? And articulate.
Let me throw this in, because you made me think of those videos that say, tell me, tell me that, and I'm going to throw something out. Tell me that you're a parent without telling me you're a parent. Have you seen those videos? Uh-uh. I mean, something along those lines are, like one was, tell me you're white without telling me you're white. And then they show something in their life that, oh, you know, or you're a parent or whatever it may be. A lot of times it's more of a political type thing, like you're white or black or whatever that is, right? Mm-hmm. But more, it's more along the lines of, tell me that this is who you are without telling me that's who you are.
That's interesting.
And then people will show that I'm a parent because I have spaghetti all over my face. I mean, right? This shows that I'm a parent right there, right? And I hear you kind of saying the same kind of thing. It's tell me you know the church is true without telling me you know the church is true. Mm-hmm. And using those cliches.
Yeah. Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah.
And I think like we have to make sure we can do that. And we have to create natural discussions wherein they have the opportunity to practice doing that. In my opinion, if I could be so bold, I said a lot of really like bold things in this one. And I haven't meant in any way to sound like arrogant in, you know, those statements, but I really want to make a statement that I think is true, that more important than us coming to class with the right words is us having a messy conversation where we're not using the right words, but where they're talking more. And yes. I think that's where the practice should be. We should be practicing in our homes, in Sunday school. Okay, so at the very end of this testimony thing, it says, in the church, testimony is shared often in fast and testimony meetings, in church classes, and in conversations with family members and friends. And I think we need to be that friend. We need to be that family member. We need to be that instructor who is giving people the opportunity to develop their testimony through sharing it. And sometimes we trick them and they don't even know that they're sharing it.
I know. But then we point it out and go, oh, look at that.
I know.
You just shared your testimony.
Yes. I love it. That's all I got.
Wonderful. Thank you, Julie. I hope that those of you who are listening will share this with a teacher who teaches the youth and a parent, because parents are teaching the youth. So share it with a parent. Share it with youth teachers. Share it with anyone who interacts with the youth. Anyone who has difficulty expressing, because I know there are some adults even who have difficulty expressing their testimony and may not realize that there are other ways to do this rather than the cliches. Let's go beyond that and be really authentic. Thank you, Julie.
Thanks
for listening, everyone. Take care. Bye.
See ya.